To have you come home would be the greatest gift you could give me. This was a message that I sent to my daughters a couple of months before Christmas when they were inquiring what Dad wants for Christmas this year. I am terrible at making lists for Christmas. Mary can attest to that. Sure, the Southwest Airlines gift card was wonderful, and the fancy meat thermometer that when meat reaches its internal temperature, an alarm sounds were great gifts. But they don't compare to the 5 days that was spent with Megan and David and Allison and William. Did I mention William? And I can imagine that you can relate as well. To have the gift of the presence of those you love beats any other material gift. A few years ago, a tornado ripped through a nearby town in my home community in Nebraska. The Red Cross was there within hours of that event. Aid began pouring in, to the extent that the little town really didn't know how to respond. Mennonite Disaster Service was not the first to arrive, but groups kept coming from as far away as this community to Pilger, Nebraska, and kept coming and kept coming for up to 3 years after the event. They built homes. They related to the people. They stayed for a week, then a new group would come. They became friends. And to this day, Pilger, Nebraska knows and appreciates Mennonites for the human face and compassion that showed far above any material aid that was provided, being light and love to that community. This is repeated through the world by the ministries of not just our Mennonite agencies, but many other organizations around the world. Light in what seems to be such a dark time for our world. And that's what you do. You shine the light of Christ by your presence, by your monthly meeting with Faith and Light, by volunteering at Care and Share, the Resource Center, other places that you volunteered, FISH, and many other places in our community, by your presence in the classroom as a teacher or a student, by your involvement here at PMC, by your relationship with those who are struggling with cancer. You embody light. You are, as the first President Bush said, one of those 10,000 points of light. You can guess where I'm going with this message on this day before Epiphany, during this elongated time of Christmas, between Christmas and Epiphany. This season was a gift-giving season, but the greater gift is that which is personal, present, and above presence. Years ago, I recall visiting an older member of the congregation that I was pastoring. It was probably late in January, because I remember admiring her new TV that she had received, a very large, to me at the time, very large. I don't know how big it was, but a little bit envious I was. And she said that it was a gift from her son who lived in a distant state. And she admitted that it was a great gift, but she told me, and it stuck with me, that she had gladly return that TV and exchange it for a visit from her son, who she hadn't seen in a couple years. I'm grateful for those 5 days spent as family, for the commitment that you've allowed me and Mary to visit family at a distance. We don't take each other's presence for granted. But as I think about what it means to be present in our communities and in our world in this day, I think about what the incarnation means to us. What does it mean to be present to those neighbors next door? A neighbor who sat in our dining room this week, confessing to a speeding ticket in Virginia, where he now needs to show up for a court appearance and where he could be convicted and become a criminal. He was pretty shaken. And then just a couple days later, we see the news of this same neighbor of prostate cancer. What does it mean to be light to Carl and Debbie during this time? What does it mean to be light to those that we encounter on the roads that seem to be driving too fast or dangerously or too selfishly? What does it mean to be light to those with whom we feel we have so little in common because of differing political or social views? And yes, what does it mean even to be light to the people of Iran, the so-called enemies of our country? The gospel lesson says it quite eloquently. The Word, the eternal Word, God from the beginning, light of all light, the one who cast the stars in their courses, that flung the planets into being, this God has become one of us, has become flesh, has moved in with us. John does not say that Jesus was a messenger from God or that Christ was an ordained representative from God. Rather, John says that he was God. The Word was God. You see, that's what our world wanted, even though we didn't know that's what we wanted. Of all of our restless living and our rushing here and there and our grabbing for this and that and our consumerism and materialism and nationalism and militarism, we need light. We need the light of Christ. So on this day, John announces to us in majestic cadences, in him was life, and life was the light of all people, the true light which enlightens everyone, everything, was coming into the world. We realize that what we need and desire most is God's presence. That is the gift we need. What we need is not what we can order on Amazon and get in a day or two at our doorstep. What we need is that which comes to us as pure gift. And this day it comes to us, he comes to us, the Word who was with God, the Word who is God, coming to everyone, enlightening all things. And that's what John's gospel says. God came to dwell with us. It seems like John can't quite find the words, and so piles up images on each other. And so uses this other image of God literally dwelling, or as the Greek says, tenting among us. Recently, I watched a TV segment, I think it was 60 Minutes, about the tent cities that have sprung up in Seattle and San Francisco and other cities where housing prices have gone through the roof. Many people, even those that consider themselves middle class, finding housing to be a real struggle, and some resorting to these tent cities. Can you imagine God pitching God's tent in the middle of such a tent city, in our city? Such a vulnerable, tenuous, trying situation, but that's where God chooses to show up. And why does God tent among us? Well, I grew up believing that's because all the other things that God tried somehow failed. God gave us a good creation, but we didn't see God's hand in creation, so God needed to try something else. How about the law? But we seemed to break all the laws. So God sent the prophets, but we rejected the prophets. And one after another of God's plans rejected until finally God comes up with another plan. And I'll come in the form of Jesus. I'll come myself. But that way of putting it doesn't, I think, adequately convey the joy of the grand truth that breaks in among us through John's gospel. The way of putting it makes it sound like the incarnation is God's last act of desperation when everything else God tried didn't work out. Our sin was way too terrible that it stumped God until finally God said, I've got an idea. But listen to John's gospel. In the beginning, did you notice what John says about Christ? Christ, the word John speaks of as the Christ, was in the beginning. John's gospel begins in a way that reminds us of Genesis 1, in the beginning when God was creating the heavens and the earth. The birth of Christ harkens all the way back to the beginning of all things. Christ was there in the beginning, already having a hand in the creation. Christ is not, therefore, some afterthought, not God's plan B after we messed up, plan A. Christ is with God. Christ is God from the beginning. God was with us, and yet now, after the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, standing beside us, lying beside us, God acting for us, God sharing our humanity, God with us. But long before that, Christ present in all of creation, in all the cosmos, but now God pitches his tent in our backyard. In the tent cities of the world, in the slums and the garbage dumps, Jesus is God, and what God is always up to. It wasn't God started to become more gracious and loving after Jesus. In the beginning, right from the start, before the world was, God was gracious and loving, creative, saving, compassionate, and kind. This means that God who is born among us as Jesus is the God who created the world, who spoke to us through the prophets, through the scripture, through the beloved music and the songs we sung or struggled through this morning, through the candles that remind us of the light of Christ, yes, through the darkness of these days and night, long nights, through the darkness of what we are experiencing internationally, through the darkness of the fires that rage in Australia, through the bread and the wine and the juice that we share this morning, very ordinary material things. God did not become something in Jesus that God was not. From the beginning, God was love. And now, down through the ages, God has loved us. Christ's love has become distinctly manifest to us. God keeps coming to us because that's what God does in Jesus through the Spirit present with us today, keeps reaching out to us, keeps lifting up the lowly, casting down the proud and the mighty. God takes on flesh, our flesh, not because of who we are, but because of who God is. And that's why we sing, that's why we worship, that's why we rejoice. And before the story is done in the last chapters of this book, we have a picture again of John the Revelator, of God coming to us. And we hear the hosts of heaven singing, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them." This is the end of the story. The point of it all, that God will be with us. Revelation says that God's home will be with us. It's the same word that John uses to describe the coming of Christ. God will be with us, will tent with us, will tabernacle with us. The whole point, God with us, us with God, light, life. So we take the Christ represented in the elements of bread and juice, represented in the light of the candles, represented in the faces of those you see here, represented, yes, even in the enemy. And we go expectant that we will be these points of light, that we will be Christians. We will be modeling the love, presence, and compassion of Christ to all we meet. May it be so.